Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about the reporting requirements as a private land money partner.
I'm going to do my best to make this not boring. Just
Thank
that
you.
Title is boring.
Thank you.
Whew.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
This is a direct request from a member.
Whew.
A very successful member. What do I have to do? I have a bunch of money now, and I would rather, there's people coming to me, and they want partner some deals with me. What are the reporting requirements? It's a good question. It's worthy of a whole episode. Jill's going to make it not boring.
Sheesh.
Let's take a question posted by one of our members before we get into it on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
This is a very interesting question here that Robert asked. Is it a good idea to have an accountability partner? And my first thought is that another word for wife? Like, oh, baby, that's a bad idea. I'm going to hold you accountable for that. Don't do it.
Did you ever see that movie? There's a scene in the movie called As Good As It Gets with he's a writer.
Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
And Jack Nicholson.
Exactly. And he's a writer. And so this woman walks up, who's read all his books, and just looking at him in awe, she says, "How do you write women so well?" And he looks at her and says, "I think of a man, and I remove reason and accountability."
I forgot that. Is that really the line?
That's the whole line.
Oh,
right there.
No. Jeez. Okay.
Well, I can see where this show's going.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what Robert means here.
Who's a
partner who's accountable?
I think that someone that's checking all the boxes and making sure you're, and it actually ties into this show. Is it a good idea to have a partner who's making sure everything gets done correctly? And I would have to say yes. Do I really want someone coming and knocking on my door because I'm not filing the right papers or not doing things the right way? No. You don't want to do it after the fact.
I just, you know, this is how I live my life. I don't ever do anything where I don't know what the outcome's going to be.
Oh, we are so different.
I know we are. That's why we're good together, Jill. I don't ever get into a business or, like, here's an example. Hey, Jack, why don't you buy this liquor store? Well, let's see what happens. No, I'm not going to do that.
Hey, Jill, that sounds like a good idea. We'll figure it out as we go.
Hey, Jack,
easy to ask for forgiveness.
Why don't you buy this car? Forget about the price. Just buy this car and we'll see what it's worth in 10 years. And you'll be fine. Or five years. No. I wouldn't ever do that. I just bought a car that's almost 50 years old for half of what I can sell it for next week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a predictable outcome.
Exactly.
So accountability is my middle name.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not Captain Obvious.
Right.
Captain Accountability.
I hope that answers Robert's question.
It's always a good idea to make people accountable.
Uh-huh.
We have an ever-growing staff of accountable people.
We know it, and I think one of the things that we talk about in our community is if there's something you're not good at, that's a really good thing that you should find in a partner. So if you know you're not good at, you know, numbers, or you're not good talking to customers, you don't like doing this part of the business, you're not good at paperwork, whatever it is, that's a really good thing to look for in a business partner, because then you're going to compliment each other and kill it.
Don't fight it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stand talking to customers, get somebody else to do it.
Exactly. Hire somebody
to do it. Do what you're good at. Yeah.
Yep.
This parlays perfectly into today's topic, which almost never happens. Yep. If you have a question or you want to be in the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, reporting requirements as a private land partner. Here's a scenario. You're a rich guy, or you have a great job. I'm going to use the exact example of the person who requested that we do this show. You have a fantastic job where you're making $300,000-$400,000 as a salesperson working out of your house. You don't have time or interest in learning how to manipulate real estate data, but you loathe the whole idea of how predictable this whole thing is, so you join anyway. people now are coming to you, other members in our group are coming to this guy saying, I know you're loaded, and I'm not. I'm not loaded, but I have all these properties that, because I just sent the mailer out, and I can't close on these properties because I don't have any money. And but we can double our money really fast. So loaded guy says, well, that's great. How do I structure this so I don't get burned? Because I don't have a lot of time.
Right.
And that's what this show is really about. You know, his concern was, what do I have to file? How does it? So there's a several ways you can approach this. But here's my recommendation. A lot of the work, the bad character, bad seed work is done for you because they're in our group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a few times I've had to kick some people out of our group because mm-hmm. they're just bad seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So just by the fact that they're members of our group, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes structure, right? Like if you have a deal, the guy's got a deal. The member who has the property, but not the money. Let's say he's got a 40-acre property under contract for $4,000 and he doesn't have the $4,000. How do you structure that? The money guy's like, yeah, I have the $4,000. Let's do it. What do you do? My recommendation is to form a simple LLC. You choose a state like Arizona. It doesn't have to be Arizona. But like Arizona, that it's real simple. Like I just formed an LLC for a bunch of deals that we're going to do in less than 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I don't know, I think it was $100, $120.
In a day.
Yeah.
A couple hours.
I mean, it took me maybe a half hour.
Right.
To fill all the stuff out. So now you're a 50-50 partner. The money guy puts $4,000 in.
Mm-hmm.
They buy the property together. Both of them have to sign everything. They have to sign the acquisition, sign off on the acquisition through title, and sign off on the sale. So nobody can screw the other person.
Mm-hmm.
If you're done and everybody decides that they hate each other, then you file a tax return, which shouldn't cost, I don't know, $300-$400 at the end of the year for that LLC, and you're done.
Awesome.
Or you do it again and again and again, which is actually what we're seeing. Now you use that same LLC. Now the money guy, everybody tests each other. The money guy puts $50,000 to $100,000 into that LLC, and you just continue. The other guy does all the work by purchasing and the sales, and the money guy ends up just signing his name all the time.
Well, I have a question, Jack. So somebody got wind of what we're doing, and they came to me with another one. Can I do this again and again and again?
Yeah.
Thank you.
In the same LLC. You don't ever have to do another.
Well, what if I want to do it with a different guy, though? Can I have 16 LLCs you with 16 different people?
6 million LLCs.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And if you have a sub-S corporation, all those LLCs roll up into your personal return. A sub-S election on it. Please research this heavily. Because if you're a money guy, yeah, you know what? If you're a money guy, reach out to us and we'll help you get this all set up.
Not me. Don't reach out to me. There's a reason why I am not into accounting. Not my thing.
We have some members some members in the deep south that are doing this. They're heavy hitters of commercial contracting companies and stuff, and they're killing it.
By the way, you're my accountability partner, FYI.
I know.
So just to tie this all together, I'm happy to be out there negotiating, buying, selling, getting all this stuff done. But when it comes to the back end, you know, cleaning it all up, making it look pretty and filing forms and IRS and taxes. Oh, that is not my thing. I do not want to be a part of that. I understand and know a lot of it? Yeah, way more than I like to. So
here, Jill, sign this.
Thank you. Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Let's go to the beach.
All right.
That's exactly
what
happens.
Pretty much it.
That's what our life is like.
Exactly. I'm good.
Jill owns multiple companies that she doesn't even know she owns.
Yeah, didn't even know.
I mean it.
Thank you.
Literally.
I know that. I'm happy with that. Thank you, Jack.
Do you ever have a business relationship or a social relationship with somebody where everyone wants to know all the details and they all have to be in control? It just doesn't work.
No. Do you know what? Here's a positive thing. So you take care of it with business. And you know what? I'm your accountability partner when it comes to your attire.
My attire?
Yeah. Like,
well, you're failing.
You can't go out like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You cannot wear those shoes with that. I mean, no.
You know what? You run the offices. You run our offices, socially part of it.
I see with the people. I do. I'm the accountability
and you run
partner
these
with
these households.
Schedules and hours and who's doing what. Yes. Thank you. And I take care of that. Thank you.
I don't have any idea what goes on in this house.
No. It's perfect.
It is perfect.
It's good.
I come home and there's like clothes laid out in the bed.
Yeah.
I get to choose. And
there's food in the fridge. Everything's great.
There's clothes in the bed night.
You like know how they shirts. Got there.
I'm like, I like these two and not this one. Uh-huh. She's like, okay, thanks.
Exactly.
It's a guy's dream, actually.
Oh, good.
I really mean it. It's probably a chick stream too. There's a lot of money coming in, Joe.
Yeah, it is. It's good. Yeah, our setup, I couldn't be happier.
Me too.
Thanks.
Hey, that's a whole show.
Yeah.
It's better than talking about reporting requirements.
Totally.
Anyway, so what kind of reporting requirements are there? And the way that I just described it, the partnership scenario, it's normal IRS filing. There's none. Here's where it gets a little bit tricky, but very, very accomplishable. If you own a house, and it's going to be a primary residence, and you own it, and you sell it to somebody on terms, right? You sell it to a buyer, and you say, please put $1,000 down and $500 a month until it's paid off. You have to comply with the Dodd-Frank Act, and I'm not going to go into the details of that here at all.
Thank you.
And you, and at the end of the year, you have to issue the interest paid, you know, 1099. INT or miscellaneous.
I speak for all of our listeners.
You know, and as a... I'm trying to get through this. Look, it's not my favorite topic either.
Could you hurry it up, please?
It's just kidding. So there's a 1099, depending on which end of that arrangement you're on.
I'm so sorry. I'm the kid in the back of the room, and I'm just wreaking havoc.
You're the class clown right now.
I'm so sorry. I'm like, there's like right now I'm folding a paper airplane. No,
there's a few reporting requirements that you have to do on each end. Each of you have to file a 1099 for miscellaneous income interest received, and the just like if you have a mortgage with a real bank. That's as simple as that. There's no big deal reporting requirements, and it's nothing that a half hour with your accountant, you're not going to get it under your hat and forget it. And that's the truth of it.
I was that kid. You know that, know, right?
Actually, so was
oh
I.
Oh my gosh. Sixth grade, Mr. Tinsman. thought he had this all figured out. He moved me to the front of the room. That didn't work. Moved me to the back of the room. That didn't work. So he moved me in the corner and he put a bookcase in front of me so I could not talk to people. So then I thought, all right, so I'm sitting with this bookcase staring at me and I was obviously bored. I'd finished my work. I was all done. That's why I was chatting. So I thought, you know, I'm going to make some signs. And this bookcase was all the dictionaries and all the resources for the classroom. So I put up signs and I'd rent them out for 25 cents a day. I thought this was very smart. Taped them all over the thing. So Mr. Tinsman said, all right. And he called me over, had me sit at his desk and explained to me his commission on what it would be. If I was more than welcome to charge the 25 cents a book for everybody to rent them out, but his commission would be X. And by the time it was all done, I went and took all the signs down.
What was the commission?
It was more than I would worth my while.
That's not fair.
I know. I thought that was pretty bad. Yeah. So I took all the signs down, Mr. Tinsman. Yeah. It was really funny. So like, okay, never mind.
And then you just gave up?
I'm sure I come up with some other things, but that's enough for now.
I got sent home in grade school for a bunch of stuff. But one of the things that I got sent home for is me and this other kid, we had a fish tank in fifth grade.
Yes.
And we would just put stuff in the fish tank to see what the fish would eat.
Oh, no. Like erasers, the
use
tops
your,
of erasers and lead and... Oh, oh yuck. Oh, wow.
I got sent home. We got in a lot of trouble,
like
actually.
Like lunch stuff you found and...
Yeah.
Oh. Like, did you kill any fish?
Oh, yeah. They all did.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Anything with mold on it.
Oh, no. That's disgusting.
There's a lot... You know, boys in grade school, there's mold on... They just,
how many weeks were you guys at this before they caught up with you?
All the fish died.
I know.
And we wouldn't go out for recess. I don't know, remember all the details, but then I got home and my parents were like, that's maybe the funniest thing I've ever heard. I got in a lot of trouble when I was a kid, but they laughed about that.
Oh gosh, that's good.
Join us on another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information. That's me.
And get slowly, totally sidetracked. And then inspiration. That's me.
You get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to make this show entertaining and buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I don't think this show, we can't top that for the after talk.
You know, I was really worried about this topic because I'm like, this is going to be really boring. I'm going to fall asleep. My nails are done, so I have nothing to do there. So I could write
your toes are done, too.
I could work on some cards for people with, I don't know, but yeah.
Cards?
I don't know, birthday. I'm trying to think, what can I do?
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.